Thank you, Your Honor. My name's Stanley. M. Morris. My registration number is 157. Here representing David Hostetler, his conviction. In particular, I think perhaps I had best approach the argument in ways that I did in opposite the way I presented them in the brief, and I can dispose of them when the lady who was brought forward to testify as to the vulgar language of the client. I never did quite figure out what was proved, because following the language of this photo, did it relate to any material fact? Well, he used a lot of cuss words and sexually suggestive matters, but beyond that, there was not any relevance, which brings us to the second test of photo. A testimony logically relevant to the case, the existence of this testimony make material fact more or less probable? No, I don't think so. There was no real connection shown during the trial between Mr. Hostetler's use of vulgar language and the actions alleged during the trial and the alleged victim.
Mr. Morris, but wasn't it more than just cuss words or vulgar language? Wasn't he in fact saying things that were sexually suggestive to the other lady?
Yes, but Judge Fox, but when he when she told him to shut up, he did so and he desisted. There were problems with that, and I don't think that he can. The prosecution should have been hard pressed to come up with any real connection between any actions and what was said, because she said she didn't care for it, and he backed away. That was by her own testimony, and I feel that following the language of Spoto, there was more of an effort to prove bad character, which is not permissible in that circumstance, because that should be barred by the 404B. But to prove the bad character, he acted in conformity with that character. But he... that, I believe, inflamed the jury somewhat, if not somewhat, more than somewhat, quite a bit. And is the probative value outweighed by the danger of unfair prejudice? I believe it was greatly prejudicial to the client, and again, not within the language and intent of 404B. Similarly, with 405 should have tied it in with specific acts, and failure to allow, the prosecution was attempting to get the credibility of Mr. Hostetler on trial, through the form of attempting to show bad character, and that he had no evidence. Similarly, jumping to the other argument about the use of the rape shield law, the 164 memoranda and messages that were sent to the sheriff's office and filed, turning that down, is a puzzlement, because the trial judge suggested that, ordered that it was within the rape shield law, which does not go to any activity and a study of those memoranda that are in the record go to any activity. But at one point in the record, the trial judge said, well, he didn't want anything to do with Rattler's Crazy Mary. As a reputation. Excuse me, asthma. Who has the reputation for calling the sheriff every little whip stitch, and about a number of things. But the fact is that the calls were made, they were continual, and these were complaints that the victim made to the court, or made to the sheriff's office. And if you study those requirements, they are well within the ambit of Rule 608 and 403.
Well, let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about 608, because aren't we looking for specific instances probative of truthfulness or untruthfulness? How would these instances have been indicative of either truthfulness or untruthfulness?
Judge Daly, had those come in, I believe there would have been testimony that a goodly number of them would have panned out to have been false.
Is there an offer of proof to that effect?
There was an offer of proof that was turned down, I believe.
An offer of proof that they were false, 164 or more.
Not 100% false, but it proven with the vast majority. And that was one thing that I thought was well within the ambit. And going back, the case is Old Chief versus U.S. That you may as well have. Excuse me. Those 164 memoranda were not proof relating to the to anything except for the accuser's propensity to call almost any time about anything. And some of them were alleging theft. Some of them were alleging people bothering her. And the trial counsel attempted to get those in so they could show the jury that she was a serial complainer. And so these don't go to the truth or proof of whether or not the attack occurred, but they do go to whether or not the judge or the jury could be heard the full import of her character. Now, the judge, trial judge, kept referring to the rape shield law, and I'm at a loss as to how the rape shield law did, because as I read those, none of them had any, read those memorandum, none of them had anything to do with any activity of rape or sex or past sexual acts by the accuser. And so with that, I've got just a little bit of time, and I think I'm running out of breath, so I think I've made my points.
Thank you very much, counsel.
May it please the court, I'm Patricia Van Horn, registration number 30,002, and I represent the people in this matter. I'd like to start off with the second topic. There was no proof that these calls the victim made to law enforcement were in fact false. Defense counsel described them as being false, but there was nothing in the offer of proof that they were false. And I read through all these, the memoranda of her reports to law enforcement, and most of them concern things like, I think I see a prowler, there's some boys with BB guns, there are people speeding down my street, somebody's dumped furniture. She'd also call when she needed some general information, such as where to obtain skunk traps, who would get rid of rattlesnakes in her yard, those kinds of things. So I think this information was irrelevant. Had nothing to, it didn't show that she had a history of false reporting. And I think that the trial court did not rule that these were prohibited by the Rape Shield statute. They were having a discussion regarding what is allowed during, as part of the Rape Shield statute, which is that a victim has a history of falsely reporting sexual assaults. And the court was simply saying the Rape Shield statute does not allow for the admission of this kind of evidence when the court was trying to determine the theory under which defendant wanted these reports admitted.
Ms. Van Horn, did the Rape Shield statute apply at all in these circumstances?
To these particular reports? No, none of the reports have anything to do with sexual assaults.
So in your view, was the trial court referring to the Rape Shield statute either by mistake or just by analogy or something else?
There had been a discussion about, I think the prosecutor brought up the idea that if someone has a history of falsely reporting rapes or sexual assaults, that is admissible under the Rape Shield statute. That's an exception to the Rape Shield statute. So that's where the discussion of the Rape Shield statute came into place, where these didn't fit under that exception because they weren't, it wasn't a history of falsely reporting sexual assaults. And so that's what the trial court was saying there.
Ms. Van Horn, your opponent has represented to the court that an offer of proof was made. I thought there was just a suggestion in the briefing that perhaps some of them might not be entirely true. I mean, were any affidavits, was any actual evidence proposed or represented to exist that would tell us that, in fact, her reports were false, that they were just a flat-out lie?
Not that I saw on the record, and I actually happened to have part of the transcript where they were discussing this, and defense counsel just said, when you have report upon report, I think it's highly relevant if you have a pattern. Defense counsel said if you have a pattern of false reports, but there was no evidence and no offer of proof that I could see in the record that these were in fact false. And as I said, most of them were complaints about speeders and animals, and a steer was loose, and some dogs were loose, and those kinds of things. And so I don't even know if that could be definitively proven to be false. But there were a lot of calls, and some of them, she was calling to get medical assistance or to ask just general questions. As I said, where to obtain skunk traps, whether some donations had been made, those kinds of things.
Thank you.
And on to the second issue, I do believe that this was admissible and relevant. It showed how the defendant reacted to women. The victim in this case, like the witness who came in and testified, was a friend of the defendant's wife, and she said, much like the victim said, this is how he first started to approach me. He would make very crass sexual comments saying, here's what I'd like to do to you, and here's what I'd like you to do to me, that kind of thing. And I think it shows his motive and intent in this case. And I also think it shows a grooming pattern, that he was trying to determine how this person would act as opposed to this person. The victim in this case sort of laughed it off or brushed it off or tried to ignore the comments over and over, which went on for a period of months.
And did the comments that the defendant made to the other woman correlate with the actions that he took against the victim in this case? So I'm wondering how you were showing the similarity.
Some of the comments, as I recall, were very similar. The events leading up to the sex assault in this case, I'm hesitant to repeat any of them.
And I'm not asking you to.
They were very crude suggestions of what he would like to do. Sexual suggestions, so. And so I do think they were highly relevant here. And I'd also point out that her testimony was extremely brief. And we had other evidence of guilt here, which I think, even if we didn't have that testimony, was sufficient. Does the court have any other questions? Thank you. I'd ask that the defendant's conviction be affirmed.
You were going to say the wrong word there, counsel.
Do you really want that?
Thank you.
Very briefly, perhaps I misspoke when I said offer of proof, but the defense counsel was stopped from making, from bringing those up. There was the discussion, which when I spoke, I recalled it as an offer of proof, but in any event, there was this stop, and I see that it had no place. Grooming, that's a word that I have in my mind towards someone, towards a child predator or such, getting another confidence. This was a family friend, a friend of Mrs. Hostetler, and an adult woman who is a family friend, I believe, would be completely aware of the situation. And with that, I will sit down. Thank you.
Counsel, for your arguments, the case will stand submitted. An opinion will issue in due course. Thank you again.